I have talked a little bit about I've talked a little bit about gas and oil over the last 3, 4 weeks. And my prognostication that would be rising is right on, although, as I said last week, earlier than I anticipated. It hit a low of $26 just in January, and it's up between 38 and 39 as of yesterday. That's a huge rise, folks. That's 50%, albeit off a very low base. In the meantime, these low energy prices, not only are they sticking daggers in the American oil industry and disrupting economies and social strata and across the globe and creating all sorts of unrest in Saudi Arabia, which I've talked about. I'm not going to go there. The show isn't about that. But they have saved Americans $115 billion. That's an estimate by the AAA, American Automobile Association, in the last year. $115 billion. That's a lot of moolah. But you know what? There's been no savings. Energy is kind of a staple, and so is healthcare. There's been no net savings, folks, because our healthcare costs, in direct contradiction to the absolute criminally fraudulent lies fed to us by Barry and crew about Obamacare, the increases in our healthcare costs, whether you're in Obamacare or not in Obamacare, whether you're on a private outfit, no matter what your costs are, the increase in those costs have more than sucked up your savings at the fuel pump. The average family is paying $663 a month, which is an increase of $230 a month, or about $3,000 annually. Just figure out what you've been saving in gas. Over the last 3 months, the price decline of about 50 cents a gallon saves you about $80 to $100 a month, assuming you have two cars in your household and you fill up the 20-gallon gas tanks 4 times a month. So your savings are 100. Your healthcare costs have gone up double what you have saved at the gas pump, which means that you're still strapped, which means that you're buying less. Which is one of the reasons sales tax revenue is growing more slowly. Payroll taxes are actually declining. I mean, all these economic indicators that I have told you about. And by the way, it's about to be made worse because states that are starving for revenue and the federal government are now looking at, and I mean, there's like 22 or 23 states. They're now looking at imposing a sales tax on services. Remember, we have kind of transformed because we've been sold down the river by the globalists, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. We have transformed from a manufacturing and materials and technology country to a service country. That's what our economy is, services. And 70% of our GDP is consumers buying those goods and services. It's like a rat in one of those round, never-ending cages that runs and runs and runs, and all the thing does go round. That's what it's like. All right, and you're about to get hit with a tax on services. Your attorney will have to add tax to his bill. Your CPA will have to add tax to their bill. It's just going to be lovely. Tax and spend, tax and spend. And where is our Republican Congress? Well, we're getting to that here in just a moment. And then the last thing here before I tell you who I have selected to support is my little mini Hillary scummy scandal list. It's Pillory's scummy scandal list. And that's not saying it strong enough. All right, number one, we have Benghazi. The lie about the video leaving Americans to die, in my opinion, when it all comes out, a preordained, premeditated, in-concert move with the terrorists over there to actually kill Chris Stevens because he knew too much about the arms deal, the deal whereby arms were getting shipped to Al-Qaeda and other outfits that were doing the bidding of the Obama administration. I'm not going to go there right now. I've put together a bunch of stuff on this. It's an irrefutable fact that Chris Stevens was the major American precipitator of that flow of arms. It's a fact that he asked for security. They actually lessened security. It's a fact that he was in Benghazi on State Department ordered business on September 11th. With a small defense detail, five guys. It's a fact that the guys at the CIA annex were ordered to stand down. It's a fact that no help came despite 13-hour firefight. These are facts. It's a fact that Hillary and Barry and Susan Rice lied their butts off for 2 weeks about it being a video. It's a fact that Hillary's emails, which of course never existed according to Hillary, Hillary's emails specify that she told the Egyptian foreign minister and her own daughter the night that it happened it was a terror attack. I mean, look, those are facts. All right, Benghazi. Voter fraud. There has been voter fraud already in the Democratic primaries. There will be more voter fraud. There will be a lot of voter fraud this November. Lots. And I'm going to devote a whole show to it so that you can get involved as a poll watcher and you know what to look for and you can report it. So some people go to jail, maybe, hopefully. You know, maybe they can join Hillary, although I think that's a big wish. But I think she actually committed voter fraud against Bernie. Never mind the coin tosses and the drawing the cards to decide precincts and all this other nonsense. You know, there was voter fraud in these primaries. She committed it against Bernie. And then she was instrumental. I don't know if you know this because she was at the State Department in the military not having their votes counted in the 2012 election. That kind of went by the wayside, but there was about I believe, and I could be off a little bit, about 1.2 million military votes which weren't counted because for some reason the planes carrying the votes just didn't make it to the polling to the various states. Huh. And of course the majority of those votes would not have been for Obama, they would have been for Romney. It was a whole nother story. And then how about her private server? Yes, I mean, kind of a big deal. How about her lies under oath to Congress and to others about not sending or transmitting classified email or trying to obfuscate it in the fifth version of the story about saying it wasn't marked classified? Just so we're all clear, classified emails do not have to be marked and are not marked classified. This is all nonsense. And then the Clinton Foundation, which really pays for Bill and Hillary's fun. And then there's all the contributions to the Clinton Foundation and all the foreign outfits that paid huge money to Bill and to Hillary to speak. And the investment banks like Goldman Sachs that paid her huge money to speak, $225,000 for an hour and a half speech, hour speech. Pretty good pay. Pretty good pay. And then there's the threads that the FBI is looking at that somehow the State Department would approve deals shortly after Country X asking for the deal had contributed to the Clinton Foundation or hired Bill or Hillary for a speech. And now we find out just this week that there's military drones. This is against the Constitution, folks. There's military drones being operated in our own country to spy on our own citizens. See, I told you I got black helicopters above the ranch. You thought I was just paranoid. And that this program was actually originated by and suggested by Hillary, just as she suggested by, takes credit in her book for, and has touted on the campaign trail that she's responsible for Libya, which the State Department finally got around to calling a failed state just a week ago, give or take, and which has now become a basis for more than 10,000 ISIS fighters. Then there's a company by the name of 123 Technologies. The State Department pushed for them to get $300 million. This is in some specialized technological fields. After they got the money that the State Department pushed to give, they went bankrupt. And then you know what happened? China bought them, and the State Department approved it. This is all so coincidental. I have not tracked back, although I probably will at one point when I have time, what speeches Hillary and or Bill might have given to China or a Chinese affiliate prior to all this happening, or what kind of contributions were made through, I'm sure, a very circuitous route into their foundation. Then there's the arming the Muslim Brotherhood and being complicit in hiring them in the White House. Not to mention Uma Abedin being her right-hand gal with full access, illegally, to classified information on the unclassified server. Then there's the IRS targeting of conservatives. Then there's the involvement she had in the Arab Spring, that is, getting rid of Mubarak and bringing the Muslim Brotherhood on board in Egypt. And then she supports, and in fact is taking credit for precipitating it, the Iran nuclear deal. She stands with Barack Obama in wanting Israel to go back to its pre-67 borders, which is committing suicide, in order to get a quote-unquote peace deal with her buddies, the Palestinian Authority, Hamas and Hezbollah, backed by Iran and wholly supported by the Muslim Brotherhood. And then, of course, there's the pullout from Iraq, which created this chaos that we have over there now. Then there is the red line in Syria, which created the chaos and the half a million folks dead and wounded, the blood on her and Barry's hands. Then there's her lying to the families of Benghazi and then calling them liars for calling her out on it. Then there's the Department of Justice spying on the press nonsense. Remember James Rosen from Fox? He was going to be a co-conspirator. Yeah, wow. Holy smokes. And then there is some kind of link that's being investigated right now between Hillary and HHS Secretary Sebelius. Remember her? The one who spent $2 billion on the website that didn't work for Obamacare, amongst other nonsense. Shaking down health insurance executives. Oh boy, I'd like to see what they've given to the foundation. Then there's another company. Remember Solyndra? Do you know who pushed for Solyndra to get that money? The State Department, while Hillary was there. And Solyndra got $500 million. 3 months later, they declared bankruptcy. And then guess what? The Chinese bought them too. Do you see a pattern here by any chance, folks? Then there's the NSA monitoring of citizens, and then there's interfering with the Inspector General and his investigation over emails. And look, it's ad infinitum. You could not find a more corrupt person on the planet, never mind in the country, never mind the government. And that's saying a lot because we have a lot of corrupt people in this government. Now, you know, if I take all this and I add to it the Democrats, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Hillary Clinton saying, oh, you know, yeah, Trump, we could beat Trump, we'll kick his butt, we'll do this, we'll do that, da, 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 we're not worried. You know, methinks you doth protest too much. And then you take this highly organized, quite intentional, fully manipulated, MoveOn.org, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, the Democratic establishment, well-orchestrated interruption of the Trump rally in Chicago last night. I mean, you really want to tell me that 1,000 people with pre-made signs, I mean, all set to go, just literally in the matter of 24 hours, kind of got all organized and just all showed up at the same spot, chanting the same slogans with the same talking points and signs and all that kind of stuff. Really? Come on. Seriously? Students, no less? Students who can get that organized in 24 hours, huh? All right. Here's the bottom line. The candidate that the Democrats are most worried about is Donald Trump. Not any other candidate. They're, Kasich, maybe a tad, but they're not worried about Kasich because he's another Mitt Romney and they'll chew him up and spit him out and he won't so much as whimper a peep. Not Marco Rubio, for sure. And Ted Cruz, unfortunately, has a limited base. Has nothing to do with his policies. He just can't appeal to a majority of the American public. Because the country has changed because the era of the Reagans is over. It was over a while ago. The period at the end of the end of the great sentence was unfortunately the passing of Nancy Reagan and Justice Scalia all within the last month, as I opened the show with. Donald Trump is who has them scared. And there's been discussions by all sorts of big labor union bosses in the last week. Not too bright. But they've talked about how worried they are that their rank and file is going to go over and vote for Trump. And they should be because they are. My theory is that the Republican turnout is, in fact, higher than normal and is, in fact, more enthusiastic than the Democratic turnout. But the huge increase in the Republican turnout is, particularly since it correlates directly to states which allow crossover voting, is Democrats moving to the Republican column because of Trump. And I think the Democrats know it. Not only that, I think the Republican establishment knows it. And it occurred to me in the last week, in thinking about the spectacle of Mitt Romney passionately decrying Donald Trump when Mitt Romney couldn't passionately decry Barack Obama, that this is the deep state at work. This is what Eisenhower warned was the military-industrial complex, what is now called the deep state. And the people in power are petrified of Donald Trump because he's one of their own. He knows how this deal works, and he's going to tear it down. And that is why the Democratic establishment, the globalist establishment, the deep state establishment, and the Republican establishment don't want him to get the nomination because they know or they feel that he will win. Is he going to carry every segment? Oh, no. But he will carry enough to win. And he knows where all the bones are buried, folks. He knows where all the bones are buried. So, the bottom line is, Trump is the most likely person to beat Hillary Clinton. In addition, I think that Trump, and by the way, that demonstration there trying to shut it down his rally tells me that the really big boys on the Democratic and globalist side are involved in this now. That's how big a threat he is. You know, you don't spend that kind of time and energy and money. You don't put that focus on something like the Republican establishment has, or like the globalists have, or like the Democratic establishment have, unless you're worried. If you weren't worried about this guy winning, you just let him fizzle out, blow himself up, whatever he's going to do. And if you weren't worried about what he's going to do, you wouldn't be worried about his winning. So is he the perfect candidate? Absolutely not. Does he say some stupid things? Absolutely he does. But he's tough. He's smart. He may not do everything right, but I think he'll do enough right to stir a pot that needs to be stirred. We cannot continue business as usual with a Romney type. Certainly not with corrupt Hillary. Absolutely not with socialist Bernie. Cruz, I've never really liked him personally, as I've told you. His policies are great. I'm a little, you know, his religious fervor kind of turns me off a little bit. But, once again, minor. His religious fervor is Trump's big mouth kind of thing. And I think Cruz would be a decent president. And I like his policies. He can't win. You don't see the Democrats, you don't the globalists and the Republican establishment ganging up on Cruz, do you? Because if he gets the nomination, he's going to lose. And they know it. So, one of the things that struck me, and I got 1 minute left to wrap this up. One of the things that struck me in the debate Thursday night, which I also watched, you know, Trump does not articulate what he's trying to say too well because he's talking quickly. He's trying to talk to a mass audience. But what he was saying and what the people inside the box, the media jerks and the establishment jerks don't get is he's exactly right, folks. If you create a wealthy America, if you create America that's great again, if you negotiate your deals, and I'm a businessman, I know this. If you bid your contracts, if you cut out the waste and fraud, if you cut the departments in the government by a half and the ones that are left by two-thirds, if you do the combination, which just like in real life and in business, of increasing your revenues and decreasing your expenses, you will have a pile of money with which to pay down debt, with which to keep Social Security going, you name it. Now, he doesn't articulate that too well. He should practice that kind of 60-second elevator speech so that the common guy can understand it. But I think he might be able to get it done. Let me put it this way. I'm quite positive that other than perhaps John Kasich, but Kasich would approach it from a government standpoint, I get the impression Trump will approach it from really a business perspective, a private enterprise perspective. I don't know. I might be wrong. So the bottom line is this afternoon when I go and cast my vote as a delegate, it will be for Donald J. Trump. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.